you aren't getting any older. The truth is, though, that the individual hasn't stopped aging. They age exactly the same way, just much slower. The speed of aging among those with anageria fluctuates a little, but generally it is a 1:15 ratio. Sometimes it is a year every 13 or 14 years, but with me it is closer to 15. So we are not immortal. Our minds and bodies aren't in stasis. It's just that, according to the latest ever-changing science, various aspects of our aging process, the molecular degeneration, the cross-linking between cells in a tissue, the cellular and molecular mutations, including most significantly to the nuclear DNA, happen on another time frame. My hair will go grey. I may go bald. Osteoarthritis and hearing loss are probable. My eyes are just as likely to suffer with age-related presbyopia. I will eventually lose muscle mass and mobility. A quirk of anageria is that it does tend to give you a heightened immune system, protecting you from many, not all, viral and bacterial infections. But ultimately even this begins to fade. Not to bore you with the science, but it seems our bone marrow produces more hematopoietic stem cells, the ones that lead to white blood cells, during our peak years, though it is important to note that this doesn't protect us from injury or malnutrition, and it doesn't last. So, don't think of me as a sexy vampire stuck forever at peak virility, though I have to say it can feel like you are stuck forever when, according to your appearance, only a decade passes between the death of Napoleon and the first man on the moon. One of the reasons people don't know about us is that most people aren't prepared to believe it. Human beings, as a rule, simply don't accept things that don't fit their worldview. So you could say, I am 439 years old, easily enough, but the response would generally be, are you mad? Another reason people don't know about us is that we're protected by a kind of organization. Anyone who does discover our secret and believes it tends to find their short lives are cut even shorter. So the danger isn't just from ordinary humans, it's also from within. Sri Lanka, 3 weeks ago. Chandrika Senaviratne was lying under a tree in the shade, 100 meters or so behind the temple. Ants crawled over her wrinkled face. Her eyes were closed. I heard a rustling in the leaves above and looked up to see a monkey staring down at me with judging eyes. I had asked the tuk-tuk driver to take me monkey spotting at the temple. He'd told me this red-brown type with the near-bald face was a Rilawa monkey. "Very endangered," the driver had said. "There aren't many left. This is their place." The monkey darted away, disappeared among leaves. I felt the woman's hand. It was cold. I imagined she had been lying here, unfound, for about a day. I kept hold of her hand and found myself weeping. The emotions were hard to pin down, a rising wave of regret, relief, sorrow, and fear. I was sad that Chandrika wasn't here to answer my questions, but I was also relieved I didn't have to kill her. I knew she'd have had to die. This relief became something else. It might have been the stress, or the sun, or it might have been the egg hoppers I'd had for breakfast. But I was now vomiting. It was in that moment that it became clear to me. I can't do this anymore. There was no phone reception at the temple, so I waited till I was back in my hotel room in the old fort town of Gaul, tucked inside my mosquito net, sticky with heat, staring up at the pointlessly slow ceiling fan before I phoned Hendrich.
"You did what you were supposed to do," he said.
"Yes," I said, which was halfway to being true. After all, the outcome had been the one he'd asked for. "She is dead." Then I asked what I always asked. "Have you found her?"